where one man asks another man if they're ready. I'm going to heaven. How about you? It has a lot to do with what I'd like to speak to you about today. If you would open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 this morning. We're going to begin a new series of messages simply titled, Go. Our theme for the year for our church has been simplicity in Christ. And there are a great many things in the Scriptures that are hard sayings, hard to be understood. There are a lot of passages of Scripture that are very, very deep theologically, and those are all very vital. But this year I wanted to make sure as a church we didn't get away from the basics, from the fundamentals of the faith. We've talked about a lot of those things, and we just finished a series on the family and just Bible basics, biblical basics for the family. And we talked about simply church and what the church is and all of those things. But God's commandment for the church begins with a very simple word, go. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Lord comes. He says, I have all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, ye therefore. We have a command from Scripture to go and take the gospel to the world. And the Lord has not called just pastors and missionaries to this work, but He's called every believer. Now, I've heard people say, that's not God's calling on my life. That's not my gift. I don't have the gift of evangelism or whatever. It's not a gift. It's a command. Amen. God has given every believer all that they need to take the gospel to others. If you have been saved, then you know the gospel well enough to trust in it. You know it enough to tell someone else. And you have the Spirit of God living inside of you to give you the power to do that work. Amen. And you have the command of Scripture. You don't need a special calling when you have a command. And so for the next few weeks, I would like to speak to you about soul winning, about going and taking the gospel. And today I'd like to ask you the question, are you ready? Are you ready to take the gospel to others? Let's pray, and then we're going to stand together for the reading of God's word. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, I thank you for everyone who's come out to worship you today. I thank you for the work that you've been doing in hearts and lives and families, the souls that have been saved and those who have been faithful and obedient to follow you in baptism. Lord, who have joined together with this body of believers that we would carry out your great commission, I pray that you would help me to preach by the power of your Holy Spirit today. I pray your Spirit would convict our hearts. Lord, I pray today for the one who's here that's unsaved, that today they would repent of their sin and unbelief and cry out to you in faith and be born again today. I pray for all who are saved, that they would be obedient in baptism and join with the church, Lord, that we would all be faithful members of this body of Christ. And I pray that you would convict our hearts today, that we would be ready to go and take the gospel to the world, that we would be ready to proclaim the good news, to preach the gospel to everyone we can. I pray you'd help this church to be a soul-winning church. And I know it can't be a soul-winning church if it doesn't have a soul-winning pastor. So God, change my heart and use me. May your Spirit move among us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand with me, please, we're in Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin reading at verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Amen. Please be seated. Are you ready to preach the gospel? The Apostle Paul was able to say, I am ready to preach the gospel. I want to tell you that Romans 1:16 is one of the most convicting verses in the Bible to me, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, how many of you have been saved for more than 2 weeks? All right. You've been saved more than 2 weeks. How many of you that have been saved have had opportunity to tell someone else about Jesus? All right. Now, how many of you that have had opportunity to tell someone about Jesus have failed to do so? You missed an opportunity. All right. My hand's raised too. Now, that's convicting to me because I'm convinced that if I am unwilling to proclaim the good news to someone, there must be some shame there. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was willing to preach the gospel to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the Jews, to the wise, to the unwise, to the poor man, the beggar, and to kings. He preached the gospel everywhere he went. He was never ashamed of the gospel of Christ, even though it literally cost him his life. He was willing to spend and to be spent for the gospel's sake, and it's very convicting to me. And I want you to just notice a few things about Paul, some characteristics of someone who's ready to preach the gospel. First of all, notice he had a determination to bear fruit. In verse 13, he said, I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. In other words, I have a purpose, a desire to come, but I couldn't yet. So that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. He had a purpose in his heart, a determination. That word purpose means that just that. He had this determination. He had this put in his mind. It was always in front of him. It means literally to put before. He had it in front of him. It was in front of him. He had a determination to bear fruit in Rome the way he had borne fruit in other Gentile places. What's that mean? He determined in his heart, he had this great desire in his heart, this willingness in his heart to go and bear fruit. Well, what kind of fruit did he have? Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. He was taken care of there. He got baptized immediately, by the way. When he believed, he got baptized, and then he immediately began to grow and to study, and it was a special case, certainly. God took him to the backside of the desert and taught him personally for 3 years. It's a wonderful truth in Scripture, but then he went and got busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. And everywhere he went, he preached the gospel. He was serving in Antioch, and the Lord spoke to the church and to them, and he said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I've called them unto. They were God-called and church-sent missionaries, and they went out into the Gentile nations preaching the gospel. And that's the fruit that he had, was those souls that have been saved and baptized and were serving Christ in the churches. That's the fruit that he had. Their fruit was those that were in the churches that were saved and baptized and living for Jesus. He says, I've got a desire, a determination. I want to come to Rome. I've got this determination because I want to bear fruit. I want to ask you this morning, what kind of fruit do you and I have for Jesus? How's your fruit? Well, you might look at your life and say, well, my fruit, Brother Isaac, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, temperance, and I've got some of those things. I've got some joy, and I've got a little bit of love, and so I've got some of the fruit of the Spirit, and certainly that's part of it, those internal fruits the Spirit bears in our lives. But I want to tell you that ultimately the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The ultimate fruit for you and I as a disciple of Christ is to bear the fruit of other disciples. Apple trees make apples, and orange trees make oranges, and sheep make sheep, and disciples make... See, I try to make it easy for you. Just set it up. It's not complicated. It's simple. If I'm going to be a real disciple of Jesus, then I need to be making disciples of Jesus. Now, here's the catch. Jesus said, herein are you my disciples, that you bear much fruit. Now, a disciple is someone who makes disciples. You guys with me? A disciple is someone who makes disciples. So in order for me to be a disciple, I have to be someone who's making disciples who are making disciples. Let me give you a minute to let that soak in. You see, we haven't really begun the process of bearing fruit until we're bearing fruit that's bearing fruit. And that's hard. That's convicting. How's your fruit? The question for that for me is, who's in the church today that God used me to plant the seed of the gospel in, that God used me to bring them to Christ, and who are they bringing to Christ? Where are they in the church today? Dear friend, you listen, every one of you almost, amen, that it's up to all of us to preach the gospel. It's not just the pastor's job, but it's every believer's job. So how's your fruit? Who's here in the church today that's trying to reach others with the gospel? Who's here today because of your witness? And if we're not seeing any fruit, friends, something needs to change. Something needs to change. We've got to have a determination. Listen, if you don't aim at anything, you'll hit. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. Right? Listen, if we go through this Christian life, if your service to God in this church never has any purpose to bear fruit, I promise you won't bear any fruit. There's not a farmer on the planet who's ever accidentally had a great harvest. He had to go and prepare the field. He had to work the field. He had to plant the seed. He had to water. He had to keep the weeds out. He had to do the work because he had a purpose, a determination. I want to see a great harvest, so I've got to put the effort in. My goal is to bear much fruit. And too many of us, friends in the church, have gone too long without the purpose of bearing fruit. And it doesn't happen by accident. We've got to prepare the soil by prayer, fervent prayer for souls. We've got to prepare ourselves by fervent prayer for us to be laborers and for others to be laborers in the harvest. We've got to faithfully sow the seed everywhere we go. We've got to have that determination in our hearts. He said he had a determination. He also said he had a debt. He said in verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. In other words, I'm a debtor to everybody. I've been given this great gift from God. I was a sinner on my way to hell. I've been given forgiveness of sin, the pardon of sin, eternal life, and I owe it to everybody to give them this same gift. Amen. Make sense to you? Amen. Heard a great message a couple of weeks ago, and it was from the Old Testament, and some of you might remember where the lepers, they were starving to death. Everyone in Israel was starving to death, and the armies of Syria and all the other nations were around them, and they were all just waiting to die, and they just said, listen, there's no reason for us to sit here and die. Let's just go out to the armies of the enemies and maybe they'll take us in and we won't starve to death. But if they kill us, well, we'll just die anyway. We're going to die anyway. I'd rather be killed by the enemy than die of starvation. And so they went out, and when they got there, you remember God had ran those armies away. He scared them to death so much, caused them to hear the sound of their enemies, and they all ran away. They left all their stuff. And the lepers come into the tent and they find food. So they come in, and what do? Man, they sit down and eat. And then they gather up all the gold and jewels they can, and they go and hide it. And they come back to another tent, and they gather up all they can, and they go and hide it. And they come back, and then all of a sudden the conviction hits them. Everybody in Israel is starving to death. And they say, we do not well. This isn't right. I was starving to death, and I found bread. And it's just not right for me to keep it to myself. Isn't that good? I'm a debtor. Listen, soul winning is nothing more than a starving beggar who found bread telling another starving beggar where they can find bread. It's really just that simple. We make it so complicated. We make it so difficult, so hard, and so big that it's something we can't do. And I'm telling you, it's not complicated. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It really is just this. I'm a sinner. I was on my way to hell, but Jesus saved me. And we need to tell other people that they're sinners. They're on their way to hell, and Jesus can save them too. I've read so many books. You guys laughed at me the other day like I was joking, but I really do know a lot about exercise and fitness. It's true. I really do. I have read a lot of books. I've seen a lot of videos, and I know the stuff to eat and not to eat. I know the exercises to do. I just don't do them. You didn't have to amen that, brother. I've read a lot of books about soul winning. I've read Evangelism Explosion, Charles Spurgeon's The Soul Winner. I've been through personal evangelism courses. I've been through the Way of the Master basic training course. I've been through all of these things. I've watched countless videos about soul winning. I want to tell you something. If you have all of that knowledge and you don't just simply go and give somebody a gospel tract and say, hey, can I give you some good news? It does about as much good as all of that knowledge about fitness that I have. If you don't do anything with it, it accomplishes nothing. Some are like, well, I don't know how to do it. Well, you need to get a determination that you want to bear fruit, and then you need to understand that you're indebted. It's not okay to keep the gospel to yourself. We do not well when we keep the gospel to ourselves. It's not right. It's not right. God has called this church to take the gospel to the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And this call to be evangelistic, it starts at home and it spreads out from there. Some of us can appease our conscience by saying, well, we send our offerings to the missionaries. I mean, we're supporting Brother Maneri in Romania. I mean, we help Brother Melanson in Jerusalem. I mean, we're sending money to guys all over the world, so we're doing evangelism. Let me tell you this. We shouldn't leave off personal evangelism. And we ought to keep supporting missionaries around the world. It's not do one and then the other and then the other and then the other. It's do all of them at the same time. Muldrow is our Jerusalem. There are people all around us that need to hear the gospel. We need to understand the debt that we always said, I am debtor. I owe. The same thing that Jesus taught us to pray. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We have something that we owe. We have something that we need to repay. And we have been given this great gift. We ought to give it to others. We get scared of people. We're afraid of what they'll say. We're afraid of how they'll respond. But we ought to be more afraid of where they'll spend eternity. He had a determination, he had a debt, and he had a disposition to preach. I want you to notice verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. You know, those of you that have grown up in church and around church, we've got this connotation of what preaching is, and to some degree it's right. What I'm attempting to do today is to preach to you. I'm attempting to take the gospel, the word of God, and expound it to you and admonish you to be obedient to the things that God says. That's certainly preaching. But let me tell you something. It's preaching the gospel is not exclusive to the pulpit at the church. Preaching the gospel, the word preach simply means to proclaim the good news. And it's something that God wants all of us to do. A lot of times we like to use different words. So we say, I shared the gospel with somebody. Well, if you do it right, you're not just sharing it, you're proclaiming it, you're preaching it. We are to warn people of the judgment to come. We're to let them know that they're going to face God on judgment day someday. And we're to reason with them from the scriptures, the fact that they have broken the commandments of God and they need a Savior just like we need as a Savior. And to show them the good news that Christ died for them. We've got to have this determination. We've got to understand the debt that we owe. And we must have a disposition. This word ready means forward in spirit or predisposed. It's translated in our Bible, willing. You remember Matthew 26:41, when Jesus had been praying in the garden and he comes back and finds the disciples sleeping. He says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This readiness is the same word there for willing. We ought to have a willingness, a readiness, a disposition that gives us over to preach the gospel to others. Charles Spurgeon said one of the hardest things that I've ever heard said by anyone. He said, have ye no wish for others to be saved? Then ye are not saved yourself. Be sure of that. I just want to ask you this morning, do you have a desire in your heart to see other people saved? I mean, is it somewhere down inside of you, right in this area right here, that says, I don't want people to go to hell. I don't want people to end up in the lake of fire. I want people to go to heaven. And certainly your family. Some of you have moms and dads that aren't saved, and some of you have brothers and sisters that aren't saved, and some of you have grandchildren that aren't saved, and children that aren't saved, and you have aunts and uncles and cousins, and you have friends that are very dear to you that aren't saved, and there's something in you that says, I don't want them to go to hell. Is that in you? But it's more than that. It's more than that. You want strangers to go to heaven too. You want the people that live under the shadow of our steeple to go to heaven too. Do we have a disposition? Do we have a willingness? Are we ready? Are we ready? We can be ready. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Look at verse 16. Why? For or because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How could we be ashamed of the gospel? What is the gospel? Well, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, lived that sinless and perfect life, and then he willingly gave his life on Calvary's cross. He was crucified to pay for my sin and yours, and he rose again the third day. How could we be ashamed of that? Let me ask you a question. What if I said to you that in my pocket today I've got a roll of money? And what if I told you that for every person you share the gospel with, I mean, you warn them of the judgment to come, you tell them that Jesus came and died for them and rose again, you give them a clear presentation of the gospel, for every time you did that, I would give you $1,000. Every time. You talk to somebody at school, you talk to somebody at work, talk to somebody at the park, at Walmart, at the gas station, wherever you go door to door in this town. For every person you give a clear gospel presentation to, I will give you $1,000 in cash. I wonder how many of us that would dramatically change how much we share the gospel with others. Would it? I know this is hard to believe because you guys know I don't have $1,000 to give you, But what if? What if a multi-billionaire Christian who loved this church said, Pastor Isaac, I've got this stash of money right here, and you've got this money. Every one of your church members, they give a clear gospel presentation. You give them $1,000, and we did that. How many of you, honestly, today would share the gospel more if there was money in it for you? Now, that's super convicting to me because I would. It would change the way that I witness. Listen, I can tell a lot of people about Jesus in a day. That could be tens of thousands of dollars in a few hours. And it convicts me to know that I could be bought for something that ought to be automatic. How many of you believe hell is real? I'm amazed that people I meet, they kind of take what they want to out of the Bible. Oh, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Good. What about hell? No, I don't believe in that. You kind of take what you want to out of the Bible, the good stuff you will like to hang on to, the bad stuff you don't want to think about, you don't believe in. I want to tell you that hell is real. Amen. How many of you believe that time is running out? Amen. I mean, listen, I'm 40 years old. They say that's over the hill. It's all downhill from here. Some of you are like me. You used to think 40 was kind of up there, and now you think 40's pretty young. 40's pretty young. 90, that's starting to look old to me, 90. I don't care whether you live to be 100. Our time is running out. I promise you, these 40 years have been a flash in the pan. It's like nothing's happened at all. It's like I came into consciousness, you know, about the time I was 12, and then I lost that sanity for a few years, and then I got it back again. But, I mean, you just kind of come into an awareness, and the next thing you know, you're 40, and then you blink, and you're 80. I mean, it goes by so quick. Our time is running out, even if you live to be 120. But I'm telling you, Jesus is coming again. Our time is running out. Amen. We've got to work while it's day, because the night comes, and no man can work. How many of you believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way? for people to go to heaven. So if hell is real, and our time is running out, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way for people to go to heaven, dear friend, what are we doing? How can we pretend like we don't see the guy on the other side of the gas pump? How can we ignore the young lady at the checkout at the Piggly Wiggly? How can we not go to our family and friends that we've known our whole lives? How can we just continue to put off talking to them about Jesus? How long are you going to wait? Because time waits for no man. 151,600 people on average die every day. Over 150,000 people pass into eternity every single day. They say that at the current rates of evangelism going on in the world today, the way the church is doing it, churches of the Lord are doing it now, it would take 400 years to reach everybody in America. That's if everything just froze. Nobody died, nobody's born. What we got right now, the rates we're going, it would take 400 years. To reach the world at current rates of evangelism would take 4,000 years. Nobody's born, nobody dies, it all just stays static. 4,000 years is what it would take. That's how great we're doing with evangelism. Check this out. I'm not real great at math, but check this out. If one person reaches one person with the gospel in a year, and the next year those two go out and reach one more. You guys with me? Buddy with me, wake up. Here we go. 2 years, I've gone from 1 to 4. You guys with me? 3 years, it looks like this. If you carry that out, and every year each one reaches one, it would only take one generation about 40 years to reach the entire planet, and that's with death and birth rates the way they are now. One generation. And that's just one a year. Can I tell you, that's not really a very lofty goal? Listen, you could tell 100 people about Jesus today if you wanted to. I'm just telling you that the opportunities are there. I know, because Jesus said the harvest is white. It's ready. So, are you ready to preach the gospel? There are so many people who desperately need to hear. Some people say they're not called to preach the gospel. They're not called to take the gospel to other people. I like what William Booth said. Not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. And then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the world. You're not going to be able to tell Jesus you're not called. Don't try to tell me you're not called. I know you've got the call, but are you ready? For I am ready. So as much as in me is, I am ready. I know it's the power of God unto salvation, so I'm ready. I'm a debtor to everyone, so I'm ready. I've got a desire to bear fruit for the glory of God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, so I'm ready. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. So I am ready to preach the gospel. Are you? This morning we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. And as they come, will you stand with me? Hell is real. Time is running out. There's no other way for you.